everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are sharing our top 12 RV travel highlights of 2015.
We spent over 70 nights in the RV in 2015, staying in both public and private campgrounds, sometimes tucked away in the woods, other times sprawled out on souped-up patio sites.
We hiked and biked and kayaked and swam. We rode roller coasters, zip lines, water taxis, and ski lifts. It was almost impossible to narrow down our picks to just 12, but we managed.
You might think that New Year's is all about the resolutions, but we here at RVFTA believe in looking back and celebrating our family's favorite moments. You are listening to episode 69, our top 12 travel highlights of 2015. Before we head into this week's feature topic, our top 12 travel highlights of 2015, we need to thank our sponsor, RV Trader.
Thank you, RV Trader.
Thank you so much, RV Trader. RV Trader has all the tools you need to find or sell your RV. To start your search today, visit rvtrader.com. Now, let's dive into our news roundup. And the way this is going to work for this episode is we're going to start with really big news, and we're going to end with really big news, and in the middle, we're going to just do regular news.
So keep track, folks. Try to identify what's the big news and the regular news.
Well, we're going to tell everybody the big news right now. RVFTA is going to be attending the Florida RV Super Show, and we're going to be there for an extra special reason. Okay, we're actually going to be there working. So what are we going to be doing at the Florida RV Super Show, and why should our listeners be interested?
Okay, this is so exciting. We're going down to the Florida RV Super Show, and we are going to be just making a podcast like we did at Hershey, like we did at the Louisville, you know, show. We are going to go down there. We are going to see what the manufacturers have. We are going to talk about what presentations and educational seminars there are. We're going to talk to consumers, right? Shoppers, you guys. Come, you know, you're going to find us and you're going to tell us what you're shopping for and what you're looking at. And we're going to like talk to you and interview you. And it's just really exciting. We're going to do an entire special podcast episode all about the Florida RV Super Show.
And what are the dates on this show?
All right, so the Florida RV Super Show is from Wednesday, January 13th to Sunday, January 17th.
And I have to say, I've been reading about this show for years, kind of longingly wanting to go, because it has like a reputation for being a really fun show and kind of having like a party atmosphere to some degree. It really is one of like the elite RV shows in the country. So what is going on at this show that makes it so much fun that everybody gets so excited about? It's not just about the RVs.
Well, you must be talking about the clowns and the unicycle riders.
No, that's not going to be us, okay? We are not going to be there as clowns or as unicycle riders.
And the barbershop quartets and the bagpipe bands.
The whole reason I want to go is for the barbershop quartet and the bagpipe bands. That's awesome.
Yeah, you are one of those people that will definitely sit down and enjoy a good barbershop quartet.
Do you
think
we could record a little bit of them playing with their permission and integrate it into the special episode of our podcast? We can try.
Okay.
And we'll need to secure permission.
Good idea. We'll do our best. We'll have all of our waivers ready to be signed.
Okay, so look, this is a huge RV show. This is a really fun RV show. There's lots of live entertainment. There's also a really full roster of great seminars. And I want to break this down for you and tell you what these seminars are, because if you're going, and you should be going, we really do recommend you attend RV show seminars, not just because we give them sometimes, but because you get industry experts there and you can learn a lot in a short amount of time, okay? So Wednesday through Saturday, they're going to have the same schedule every day, okay? The first seminar starts at 10 a.m. It's Rob Cochran on basic RV maintenance. That would be a great 1-hour seminar to attend. It could save you some money in the long run. At 11 a.m., our friend who has been on this show before, Walter Cannon, the president of the RVSEF, the Safety and Education Foundation, is doing a seminar on RV weight and tire safety. And let me tell you, from our 6 years of RVing, these are the most important. This is what you need to know as an RVer. You need to know about weight and towing safety, and you need to know how to take care of your tires. I mean, these are the most pivotal issues when it comes to your personal safety and the safety of your family. And Walter is like a rock star. He's like a Jedi Knight of RV safety.
I heart Walter Cannon.
I man crush Walter Cannon. All right, so at noon, you're going to have Adam Buchanan on generator maintenance. At 1 p.m., Bob Marks is going to be doing tips for choosing the right RV. So if you're not sure if you want a fifth wheel, a travel trailer, a pop-up, a hybrid, that'll be a great seminar for you. It can be confusing to the first-time consumer. Take advantage of one of those seminars. At 3 p.m., Bob Marks will be back for extended and full-time RV travel. We've done some extended RV travel.
I think we have. We've clocked extended RV time.
If you're interested, I mean, if you're heading towards retirement and thinking about full-timing, or if you're younger and thinking about full-timing, because as we know, plenty of younger people are also full-timing, this would be the seminar for you. And at 4:30, Brian Fearon is doing the joys of caravan travel. Sounds fun to me. We love rallying. I love the idea of caravan travel. Now, we recommend that you do these shows as almost like a break, too, because an RV show can be a lot of walking. And I mean, you should be doing a lot of walking because you should be seeing as many units as you can.
Yeah, bring your Fitbit.
Bring your Fitbit. You're going to blow the thing up.
Clock your steps.
But look, take a little break. Sit down with a cold, cold bottle of water and a snack and listen to a seminar.
Yeah, so it's really good practice when you're visiting an RV show to look at the schedule of seminars ahead of time. Block out the ones that you want to go to. And then in between those, you know, walk the floor. Do everything you want to do, wear yourself out, and then go sit in a seat and listen to a very valuable seminar. That's a great RV show sort of strategy, I think.
Yeah, and this super show, they're getting really top-notch people, okay? All these presenters are going to be mm-hmm. great. I mean, we really praised Walter because, like, he's our buddy, and we've seen him present, and he's a really good presenter. He's really funny, very educational. So get thee to this the Tampa Super Show, get thee to a seminar.
Also, one of the great features about the show this year is that they're bringing back the two-day pass. So when you buy a ticket for one day, you get 2 days.
Get out.
No, seriously, I swear.
Now, this is important. This is important, people.
Yeah.
Because if you're seriously honing in on a purchase, I think it's really smart to spend the first day window shopping, researching, narrowing down your options, attending some seminars, then going home or going back to the hotel or back to the RV.
Or the campground or the
Sleeping on it and doing your purchase on that next day. I think it is overwhelming to do it all in one day. So that's a really great tip, is to take advantage of that 2 days for the price of one.
Yeah, when we were in Hershey, we had lots of listeners come to meet us that were there for 2 days.
There were a lot of people either camping out nearby or staying in hotels, and our listeners are smart. Mm-hmm. They all were planning on sort of that 2-day process for purchasing the RV. And a lot of our listeners purchased at Hershey.
Couldn't believe it. There was like checkbooks being
whipped out. From travel trailers to toy haulers to even motorhomes, our listeners were buying.
Actually, like some of our listeners bought a Brave and then a toy hauler, a Seismic, right? Like, I mean, it was all over the place and they were just buying. And we were like, wow, this really happens at RV shows.
Another advantage to going to a big show like the Florida RV Super Show is that the manufacturer's reps are going to be there. So not only will the salespeople be there from all the dealerships, but Jayco and Winnebago and Airstream, whatever company you're interested in, they're going to have their own representatives there and you can chat with them and ask them questions. And these are oftentimes the people that designed the RVs.
Yeah. So there is tons of reasons for you to get to the Florida RV Super Show. Namely, we're going to be there, but hey.
And we will do a meet and greet. We're going to figure out a time or maybe two times to, you know, where you guys can come and say hello. We would love to meet some of our Florida listeners, and we know that Florida is like our third or fourth best state for downloads.
Yeah.
So we know you're out there, and we really would love to meet you.
Yeah. So email us at rvfamilytravelatlas@gmail.com. If you're going to be there, you can shoot us a message on Facebook or whatever on social media and tell us you're going to be there. We'll work out a meeting time. We're also going to set up a meet and greet, and that's great. And then I'll also put all of the information for this show in the show notes for this episode. So you can head over to rvfamilytravelatlas.com and you can click through and get all of your details down for the show.
Sounds great. That was big news. Let's just step it down to some regular news. That's actually big news, too. We launched our forum last weekend. After a lot of deliberating, a lot of thinking about it, we decided to go for it. And we were thrilled. We had 100 people sign up in 2 days, and it's just kept going. And the forum has been lively already. For a forum that's been around a week, it's been really lively. And we want all of you to join this forum. No cranks are allowed.
That's our number one rule.
It's pretty much our only rule. We want this to be an alternate to some of the RV forums out there that everyone just knows are a little bit cranky. This is going to be a forum that's supportive, and you're going to get a lot of information and inspiration on our RV FTA forum. And the topics already in this first week have been everything from like having kids sleep in the RV, having little kids sleep in the RV, to what gear and gadgets did you get for Christmas, to help me plan my trip to Yellowstone. There's been a really wide variety of stuff on the forums.
Right. We truly believe that our listeners have such expertise to share. We are not the only experts out there. You guys, many of you have so much to share. So go over to our forums. It's only going to be as useful as the people who are involved.
And thank you so much to our listeners who really have been making the effort to post regularly and to answer questions. We sure do appreciate that. And really, there's been, I'd say, 20 to 25 people who've been very active. The 75 of the rest of the people, hey, where are you?
Yeah, we call them lurkers.
Dive in. Don't lurk. Okay. join in on the forum fun. Okay. Yeah.
Answer a question. Like, that's what really, it's the same way we talk about being in that community on the campground. We love the people that say, hey, how you doing? Where are you from? And we want that forum to have the feeling of that campground that we talk about so often.
Absolutely. Now, this week's show is all about looking back on our travel highlights from 2015. But for our last big announcement in this news roundup, we want to look ahead to 2016. We are incredibly pleased and honored to have Jayco on board as our sponsor for the Campground of the Week podcast for all of 2016. So we wanted to announce that tonight and just share our enthusiasm for having them on board.
Absolutely. We have had our Jayco Whitehawk for
over 3 years now.
Okay, yeah. And we love it. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that we have been incredibly blessed and pleased with the quality of our rig. And even though, you know, we're like always looking to the future and what's next, you know, we've really had a great run in this rig.
We have spent over 200 nights in our Whitehawk, and we have been impressed with the quality of the product. This is a company that we believe in. It's a company that we feel really comfortable recommending to our listeners, and we're thrilled to have them on board as a podcast sponsor
so
for 2016.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you have not subscribed to Campground of the Week, you need to head over there to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe. We've got 7 or 8 episodes up already. We're going to hit campgrounds from all over the country. We have 6 correspondents in different geographical locations. We're going to add a couple more correspondents to cover some different parts of the country. And I want to throw this down right now.
Okay.
I want to cover all 50 states in our first year. I want a campground review from all 50 states in the first year.
I love it when you set goals on our podcast, like just in front of all of our listeners, right?
So they can watch us fall down.
Yeah, right. Like, okay. Well, you know that means like there's 52 weeks in the year.
I know. In our first 8 episodes, I think we've done 8 different states though.
Oh, so now
we're making
like
really good progress. And I think we can do this.
All right. Well,
okay.
We'll
Who's going to do Alaska? I don't know.
Okay. So at our year
Hawaii? Oh, no. Okay. I need need to retract.
No. Oh my gosh, we have to have a Hawaiian.
The lower 48. What I meant to say is we're going to cover the lower 48.
good drawback there.
We will be back in a second for this week's featured topic, our top 12 travel highlights of 2015. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about the perfect RV for you and your family, RV Trader has a ton of resources to help you make the right decision.
With thousands of RVs for sale across the country, finding what you want is easy.
Helpful icons on the homepage will show you the difference between motorhomes, travel trailers, toy haulers, and truck campers. And once you pick the type you're looking for, you can narrow your search by make, model, state, and even price.
Also, if you're looking to upgrade or sell your current RV, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Millions of local buyers shop every month and will contact you directly if interested in purchasing your unit.
RV Trader has all the tools you need to find and sell your RV. To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
It's time for this week's feature topic, our top 12 travel highlights of 2015, and we are going to also share a whole bunch of listener highlights from their RV travels in 2015. Initially, this was going to be the top 10, and we couldn't pull it off, could we?
Yeah, well, you know, we had negotiations.
Elaborate negotiations.
And then eventually there was like, oh, well, this could be combined with that. No, they have to be separate. Well, why can't there be 12? Okay, 12, you get one extra, I get one extra. And then everything's okay in the marriage, right? That's what it's all about.
That's really the way it did work out, is that we sort of each had 5, we got to 10, and then we each just needed sort of a bonus.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So it's our top 12 travel lights. We did spend 70 nights in the RV this year. In fact, I think we spent more, and I just stopped counting at 70. So let's start chronologically. We're going to start back in the spring and work our way through our year of RV travel.
Right. This isn't like a countdown, like from the worst of the best to the best of the best.
From our least favorite to our most favorite.
No, this is through the RVing season, which for us started in March of 2015.
With snow on the ground.
Yes.
Our first highlight from 2015 is going to Myrtle Beach. And we want to get more specific, though, right? We loved doing the kayak tours with Black River Outdoors Adventures. Now, we go to Myrtle Beach every spring for the last few years, and we go to get that first dose of summer, like that feeling that winter is over. And for me, that happened when I did my Cypress Swamp kayak tour. It was a warm, beautiful day out on the water. We had a gorgeous tour. Flowers were bursting everywhere. The tour guide, Paul, was amazing. He was diving in the water and pulling up water snakes and showing us turtles, keeping our eyes out for alligators, which we didn't see. But Max and I had an amazing time. And then you took a turn the next day, and you did the salt marsh tour, also with Paul. And you had a great tour, too.
Oh, sure. We spent hours going through the salt marsh tour at sunset down there in Myrtle Beach. And I do think that you're going to spot a theme through these 12 sort of highlights of our year. And our oldest twins turned 6 this year. And I think that it was a shift for us, right? Where all of a sudden we were able to start doing some of the more adult things and bringing them along, right? It's not just about doing the things that kids can do. It was about, oh, we want to do this, and sure, they can do that too.
We're all about outdoor adventure, and we've been hiking with these boys since they were one. And by the way, we have one set of twins. If you're a new listener out there, the way Stephanie said that, you may have thought we have multiple sets of twins. We like to push the kids a little bit to some degree. And for this year, that meant getting out in the kayaks more and having some more adventures out on the water and not just hiking. So we were kind of adding to our repertoire of family adventure.
But we had to split up because we still have a younger guy.
Don't tell Wes about this highlight.
He has no idea.
He didn't go on either of these tours.
So, you know, we knew that we wanted to experience these things, but we knew that 2 hours in a kayak would probably be a bit much for a two-year-old. So we split up and we each took one of the older ones on a tour. And this initially was pretty tough for our boys because they're very tribal and they really want to do everything together. We have to force them to break up and to do things apart.
We always say, oh, let's do things with them apart and let's each of them have a day with mom, a day with dad. They don't want that.
No.
So we had to drag them each to do these kayak tours, but then they loved them.
They had such a good time. And it was really just a phenomenal experience for us and for them. And I think that theme runs through all of our 12 highlights, right? Those moments where we were actually having a phenomenal time, and our kids were having a phenomenal time also.
Our second travel highlight from 2015, also from Myrtle Beach, ziplining up near the boardwalk towards the ocean. We had a blast ziplining with the boys, and Myrtle Beach is a great place for ziplining with kids.
Yeah, and you know, this might not be a surprise for some of our listeners who have been tuning in for a while, because in our episode live from the Myrtle Beach KOA that we did down there, I did say that my highlight of the trip was that zip lining. And it wasn't because it was the best zip lining I've ever done in my life. I've zip lined really long, high zip lines in mountains before, right?
This is a relatively short one, but it's pretty fast and furious.
Oh, it's high and it goes right towards the ocean. It just gives you this great view. But the reason why it was such a phenomenal experience to me was because, you know, it was one of those moments where I had that flash forward, right? Like, I got my kids to get up there on that platform, and they were so high. And I was in the middle on a box, and they're on either side of me, and I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me, and I'm thinking, they're not gonna do this. Like, they're not going to do this. I could see the look in their eye like, whoa, mom, you're out of your mind.
But you led the way.
Well, you know, they're not going to push them off. And so for a moment, I stood there and I thought, I'm like trying to convince them to do it. And then I just said, you know what, I'm going to go. And I'm going to try to get them to go with me. And I did. And they followed.
One of my favorite series of photographs was of that zip line, of the exact moment you're talking about. I set myself up with Wes on the platform right below you guys in a great spot, looking up at the three zip lines so that I could get, and I put the camera in burst, so I could get a series of shots of you guys going down the zip line. When you look back at that series of shots, you see Stephanie take off. And she's looking back, waving them on with a huge smile on her face. But it takes about 5 or 6 photos before you see Max appear on his zip line. And then it takes like another 2 or 3 photos before you see Theo appear on his zip line. So the three of you did not go down together at the same time.
Oh,
it was very stuttered.
No.
But it's an adorable sequence of photos to watch because you can see mommy encouraging her boys on into this this great adventure. I just also want to say too, Myrtle Beach is such a premier RV destination. We've said that before. I want to say it again here. And we included it in the Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. We have 40 great RV vacations in that book, and I'm really happy to say that Myrtle Beach is one of them because it's a tremendous place to take an RV vacation. Okay, moving on to Mother's Day weekend, we decided to camp close to home, and you chose this as one of your travel highlights of 2015. I would not have picked this one.
This is one of the reasons why we have 12.
Well, and once you said it, I totally agreed.
I was like,
once you said it, I was like, you know what? That was an awesome weekend. We learned a lot about ourselves as travelers, and we started a new tradition for ourselves, which is camping close to home at Turkey Swamp Park, 20 minutes from our house. Why did we have so much fun?
It was me, really, that had stopped us from camping close to home in the years that we had owned an RV.
Thank you for admitting it.
The idea.
You always used to say, oh, if I'm going to go out in the RV, I want to escape. I want to get away. So we always go minimum 2 hours.
Yeah, about that. I would say that we very rarely camp under 2 hours, or if we had ever done that. But we hit this point where our boys were suddenly committed to things, right? We had T-ball. No big deal, but they love their T-ball games, and
didn't want them to miss too many games.
No, go to your T-ball game. That's okay. And so we thought, how can we do this? In the past, we had gone to a campground for Mother's Day that was many hours away, and they had a T-ball game. And we said, okay, well, what are we going to do? Let's try this whole camping close to home thing. It was very transformative for me. I, first of all, was able to experience a campground that I had seen many times because it is nearby and we've gone there for day use. We've gone there to hike and to use the lake. They have paddle boats there.
But we never really fully checked out the campground because it's like, oh, it's in our backyard. Who cares?
I had this idea. If you are within 20 minutes of your house, why wouldn't you just sleep in your home? Go there for the day and come back to the house. Like, what's the point of packing up the RV? That was very much of this notion stuck in my head. This trip released me of that. I realized that when you do take your RV out close to home, it gives you the best of both worlds. First of all, you can still connect with any,
the boys went to their T-ball game. Right. I mean, we drove them to the T-ball game. Drove back to the campground.
Right. You can do all your commitments for the weekend. If you have plans, it's okay. You don't have to say we don't have anything going on this weekend. And then on the other hand, you feel like you're a million miles away from everything.
It was a really fun weekend of camping. And we were sitting around the campfire at night. It did. It felt like we were in another world, but we were close to home. And I think we need to give a shout out to Girl Camper. Because Janine Pettit has been camping at Turkey Swamp for years and has been raving about, oh, Turkey Swamp's such a beautiful campground. The sites are huge. The sites are beautiful. They're all pull-through sites. And so finally we were like, all right, we got to camp at Turkey Swamp. And she was camping there that weekend.
Yeah.
And she was just so right. It's a great place for a local escape for us. And I think we're going to go there every year.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to go back. I love that feeling of being in the middle of nowhere while also being only 20 minutes away from home. So it was a transformative experience for me. I love having a local campground now.
And next spring, I want to book it again for a weekend when they have T-ball. So we can have a camping weekend and they can get to their T-ball game. Why don't we do some listener highlights from 2015? A lot of our listeners wrote in on Facebook, on email, even on our forum and Instagram. So what do we have for listener highlights?
Okay, so I'm going to start out with Megan White and Scott. And she said, we fell in love with Vermont this summer. Their state campgrounds are incredible with spacious sites and tremendously friendly staff. We spent a peaceful weekend at Half Moon Pond State Park, and it was just the getaway we needed. The state parks don't offer hookups, but we didn't mind. It was so peaceful and remote. We love Vermont so much, we booked 2 additional weekends around the state this summer. Can't wait to go back in 2016.
I think that most people that go to Vermont fall in love with Vermont.
Love it.
Every inch of that state is beautiful. If there's an inch of Vermont that's not beautiful, we haven't found it yet.
Romance. I'm in love with Vermont. I adore it. We've gone there every single summer, I think, for 4 years.
Yeah, and the lush green of Vermont, it's different than any other green in New England. You know, the landscape of Vermont is so different than New Hampshire and Maine. They're all beautiful. And Vermont's got a lot of great places to go RVing, right? My grandfather and grandmother used to go to Vermont every summer. And my grandfather was like a total, heavy-duty Republican conservative. Yeah. And Vermont is not.
No,
let's just put it that way.
There's nothing granola about your grandfather. And there's a lot granola about Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont's like a very liberal state.
Yeah.
And my grandfather loved going up there every summer. Just loved the culture and loved the good people of Vermont. So a great state to take an RV vacation in. So we agree with you. Love Vermont. Now, JP wrote in and said, wow, just one? The incredible hiking in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park would have to be one of the year's highlights. Every turn in the trail was a new vista or challenge or a new creek and waterfall to enjoy the view and the sounds. We were lucky enough to visit in the spring, and it was not very crowded, so many of the hikes and walks and picnics were alone in the woods. The trip was very special. One other highlight was the Townsend, Tennessee Folk Festival. Music, food, dancing, it had everything for someone who wanted to see the real mountain people. Thank you for that, JP. And you're so right about the hiking in Great Smoky Mountains. There are so many hikes that kind of crisscross over mountain streams, right?
Water everywhere. That's what I just kept thinking the entire time we were in the Great Smokies. And we'll touch on a couple of our favorite
Great Smokies. Oh, we're going to talk about our favorite Great Smokies hike as one of our travel highlights.
All right, so Travels with Birdie, that's Carrie Cox, and she wrote, "We had our first epic road trip this year, which had many spectacular moments, but I think the highlight must have been when we reached our RV park in San Francisco and walked to the edge of it to look out at the Pacific Ocean. There we stood at the absolute edge of the United States after hauling our travel trailer all the way across the country, seeing the ocean just one of those moments that encapsulates the wonder of travel. Another wonderful moment was arriving home after our 5,500-mile journey, all in one piece. I was so amazed and proud of ourselves because there were moments I had my doubts about whether we could do it. We did it, and now we can do it again."
And Carrie is planning another epic adventure
for
2016.
She is.
Yeah. She's going to be doing another big trip, and we'll certainly have her
back on. We can't wait to read about it.
This show, and she's our Midwest correspondent for the Campground of the Week podcast. Tom Burkett wrote in and said, "It was a great year for camping and travel, but number one had to be our first ever deep winter experience at Tequamanon Falls in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Frozen waterfall hikes, snowshoeing, hot drinks around the campfire, and 3 feet of snow made for a magical weekend. We're headed back again next month." And boy, oh boy, do you and I want to do some winter camping this year.
I want to camp in the middle of winter so badly, and I have no idea why, but it's like a thing for me right now.
To be cozy and toasty in the RV on a cold night, or to sit around the campfire with a hot cup of tea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the next big thing for me. So.
Why don't we just throw it down right now and say that we'll do it? This January, wow. I've picked out the campground for us.
All right, we'll see. So Gretchen from Boxy Colonial wrote, "I pulled the family and it's unanimous. Our Thanksgiving week trip to Skidaway Island in Savannah was the highlight for us. We all fell in love with Savannah and the Georgia coast, but it was also the trip that made us start to feel like real RVers. It was a trip full of firsts. First time more than a couple of hours from home and first trip longer than two nights. We stopped for gas with the trailer for the first time and didn't knock down the gas station. We had to use the heat and we didn't freeze. Our water heater mysteriously stopped working, but we didn't panic. Now that we're seasoned veterans, we are excited about venturing out on longer trips farther from home in 2016.
Gretchen, thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
And brownie points for Gretchen for contributing quite a lot on the RVFTA forum this week. Brownie
she's
points.
She's on the forum.
Okay, she's been rocking
Are
on
you?
The forum. You should be too. So thank you to all those listeners. And we're going to have more listener highlights. And we'll be back in a second with more of our highlights from 2015. Welcome back to the show, everybody. For our next four highlights from 2015, we're going to talk about our big 34-day road trip down south this past summer. And the first highlight from that trip was we were camping at the Fancy Gap KOA in Fancy Gap, Virginia, and we decided to head over to Mount Airy, North Carolina for the day, which is about 15 minutes from the campground. Been hearing about Mount Airy for years, and I can't say like I was dying to go or I was hell-bent on going, but we just kind of decided, all right, let's go to Mount Airy. It's something you do when you're staying in this area. And I had so much fun. It might have been my favorite day of RVing from the entire 70 days that we spent last summer. Loved Mount Airy.
Yeah, you were smitten. And any of our listeners that have been listening since the beginning, you know, of the summer season know that. You've mentioned Andy Griffith so many times on this show. I mean, really, it has to be in the trivia game for our next rally.
Oh, we are still watching. We're still working our way through like the eight or nine seasons of Andy Griffith in our house right now. I mean, we really all did kind of become obsessed with it. All of the boys, anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
But the town was such a throwback, and it was so filled with nostalgia for like a simpler time in American life. And it really has become, the whole town has sort of become this tribute to Andy Griffith. It's almost like this huge museum or theme park for Andy Griffith.
You know what, though? It's a theme park without a lot of the stress.
Because it's actually a real functioning town.
Right. And it doesn't have, you know, it was a tourist destination without feeling like it had a lot of the pressures of a tourist destination.
It was laid back and easy. Kids.
Right. So we had lunch at Snappy's. And that was just a nice lunch.
Snappy lunch.
Snappy.
Snappy lunch. And you ordered the famous pork chop sandwich, and you got the best lunch.
Yeah, because I ordered what you should order when you go to Snappy.
Lunch at Snappy Lunch was like $3 each.
It was ridiculous.
I don't understand it. The prices are from the 1960s, from when the show came out.
It was very simple. It was bare bones. Everything came in wax paper bags. Like, and then you got a haircut.
Floyd's Barbershop is right next door. I went next door. I got my hair cut in there. And the barber who inspired Floyd was there.
Yeah.
He doesn't cut hair anymore.
No,
they don't let him. Because he's in his 90s. But his granddaughter cut my hair.
Yeah.
And I got a great haircut in Floyd's Barbershop. And it was filled with all this local flavor, all these locals hanging out, having conversation, being so nice to us.
Oh, yeah. They were talking to the boys, asking the questions. And the boys are like big-eyed, like, I don't know what to say to you.
Then we took the guided tour in one of the 1960s Ford police cars around the town. And we're like senior citizens. We love a guided tour.
No. Well, that's the funny thing is I think that's why you loved this day so much is that as our boys have been younger, we've been hesitant to do tours, right? Because we always feel like our kids are going to like wreck the tour. And we're never like, we don't want to commit to a tour. You never know what's going to happen when you have little kids. But we love tours.
But a tour in a vintage police car?
We love tours.
For six-year-old boys?
Yeah.
Doesn't get better.
So we did this tour and it was awesome. So then the kids are like thrilled. They're in a police car. The sirens are going off. And we're thrilled because we're learning about history. We learned about the quarry, for the granite quarry there. We were fascinated by all the history. And the kids are just caught up in the spectacle. And that's what we love about family travel. Sweet spot.
And then you also have to love when you break down.
Yeah.
The vintage Ford police car right in front of Andy Griffith's childhood home. So we had a breakdown and we were stuck there and they had to call the second police car to come get us.
Right. So the guy turns off the engine to tell us about Andy Griffith's home. So we're sitting
in front. Because the car's so loud.
Yeah, you can't hear him. So he turns it off. We're sitting there and then he tries to turn it back on. Doesn't work.
Did not come back on.
Okay, we got three kids. We're like,
he suggested that he might have run out of gas because the gas meter did not totally work.
Did he? I didn't even hear that.
He wasn't so sure. But he did call the other guy. The other guy came to get us, and the first guy made sure that we paid him. We'll just settle up now.
Let's settle up.
I don't see you back at the police station.
Let's settle up.
Because the tour starts from the like sort of fake police station. They have like a fake police station, just like the one
right
from the Andy Griffith show.
Right next door to the jail.
And you can throw the kids in jail, which we did. And that was fun. It's fun to throw your kids in jail.
One of my favorite moments of the year was throwing them in jail.
One of my favorite Instagram photos that we put up from the year was throwing those three boys in the clink where they often belong.
I don't think they were as amused.
They were a little concerned. So look, Mount Airy was awesome. From that point, we moved on and we camped on the North Carolina side of the Great Smoky Mountains in Cherokee. And about 10 miles from the Cherokee KOA is the Iconalufti Visitor Center. It might be closer than that. And on our first full day there, we headed over to the Iconalufti Visitor Center, like we really always recommend doing when you're in a national park. Go to the visitor center, talk to a ranger, and help that ranger you know, guide you towards like a great hike or great activity. I had all my hiking books, but I still wanted to go in and say, look, we've got three kids, you know, they're 6 years old and we have the 2 year old on the backpack. What's a good hike for us? And the ranger kind of like thought through a couple, and then he's like, no, you want to do the Kephart Prong Trail.
And that was not, I think it's very important to note, mm-hmm. that was not on our list.
It was not, no, I didn't know about the Kephart Prong. It was not on my list. And we would have driven right past it because the trail
was a little
was
bit
not,
hard to find.
Yeah, it's easy to get onto, but to hard miss. To see because it's just right off the side of the road. The Kephart Prong Trail was possibly my favorite family hike ever. It was magical. The hike crisscrosses over a rushing mountain stream. There are three very narrow wooden bridges that you have to cross, which felt very adventurous. And they were like, they had like one handrail.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you're crossing on this very narrow piece of wood with one handrail over the rushing mountain stream. So it feels very adventurous. But it's not really, it wasn't really dangerous.
It's not dangerous. It's not difficult. It's adventurous and fun, right? There's a difference between those. And our boys, like, they just engaged and it was so memorable for them. And then having snack, you know, beside the stream.
Dipping our feet in the water.
Feet in the water.
In the cool, crystal clear waters of the stream.
Perfect family
hike. And the photos of it, if you look back at our photos, just this lush green coloring, it felt like an enchanted forest. We only saw one or two other people on the entire hike.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect family hike, the Kephart Prong Trail. Our second highlight from that same trip, after we stayed at the Cherokee KOA, we went over to the Tennessee side of the Great Smoky Mountains, and we stayed at the Great Smoky Mountain Jellystone, which is one of our top recommendations for an American campground for a family. It is truly a magical place, but our highlight there was our streamside site.
Right, so the sites here that back in along the stream, you back your, you know, RV in, and the back of your RV drops right off to this perfect stream. Why is it perfect? Because there's these little like stepping stones and the kids can get out there and they can play.
They can
and
be
then
kids.
There's also these little deep pockets that are almost like these little swimming holes, right? So for a while there, you were like having checker games with the boys. And if you lost, you had to go like
dunk myself in the water. You could kind of go for a dunk in the
at
stream.
At certain places. But then the kids could also kind of like walk around and have a good time and throw stones and everything.
And it was really the relaxation of sitting by the side of that stream, listening to it rushing by at night. That site, having that site was actually one of our travel highlights of 2015.
That is one of my favorite sites of all time. I wish every site that I ever stayed at could be that site.
It was my favorite site of all time.
Yeah.
And we've camped right on the ocean. We've had some great sites. That, for some reason, is a magical little
Love
site.
It.
Now, while we stayed there, we went to Dollywood. And we like debated for 5 seconds about whether Dollywood should go on this list. And then we were both like, of course it should.
Yeah.
Dollywood was awesome. And we had an amazing time there.
Right. Because, you know, you're putting on things like the Swamp Marsh Tour and you're putting on, you know, the hikes and all these very outdoorsy sorts of things. And then you're like, oh, well, Dollywood. But you know what? That's awesome.
Dollywood.
It's a great part of traveling to go to these places that are iconic. Dollywood is iconic.
And to me, it's like more than just a theme park, not to get corny, but they have really amazing roller coasters. And I went upside down on that. What was that? That Eagle roller coaster for the first time in my life. I went upside down. That I was squealing like a school girl.
Right. So I wanted to scream because it was a fun roller coaster, but I couldn't because I was laughing.
You were
I couldn't
laughing
breathe.
At me.
I was laughing so hard because you were squealing. Like I was between screaming and just like I didn't have any breath. I couldn't deal with it. It was so funny listening
to you. So it's a world-class roller coaster. They have all kinds of water rides for the kids. But then also there's so much great live music throughout the day. I mean, if you're just a music fan and you want to go hear some country and some bluegrass and some, you know, some pop music, they have a little bit of everything there. And it really is world-class music.
And you could tour her RV.
Oh, Dolly. I forgot about touring Dolly's RV.
So much fun.
That in itself was almost a travel highlight of 2015. Yeah. I'm going to put one of those photos back up on Instagram.
All right, here it goes.
I forgot about that.
Like, remember, like, the pink Cadillac ride? That was Wes's, I swear. If Wes did the podcast, he'd put that on as one of the highlights of his year. Driving that little car through. Like, it was just, he's two, and he had something that he loved. Lots of things that he loved. The boys had lots of rides and things that they loved there. And so did we. It really was worth the splurge. That's all I want to say. Go to Dollywood. It's family fun at its best.
The price may kind of shock you somewhat, but it is Disney quality.
Yeah, clean.
It's incredibly clean. It's really a full day of great family entertainment. When you consider that you're going to get a bunch of free concerts in there when you want, then also the food there was good, and the food was not overpriced, which really impressed us. We didn't feel like we were getting, you know, like, charged really high prices because we were trapped there.
Yeah, and like even the drinks, like you felt like you could get one of those refillable drinks and it was a reasonable price and you could be okay throughout the day. So we did not feel like it was a overrated activity. It was one of our personal highlights. We loved it. Go.
And we didn't even see Dolly.
No,
and lots of people do, apparently.
That's okay.
All right, why don't we share some more listener highlights from 2015? I'll start this time with Kristen from The Touring Camper. And they have a blog, and they have a website, and they're on Facebook and Instagram. Kristen writes, "We had a lot of fun experiences this past year, from camping at Disney's Fort Wilderness to meeting up with family and friends for a couple of trips. But the highlight was definitely our West trip. We made it as far west as Yellowstone, with stops at Devil's Tower, the Black Hills, the Badlands, Mount Rushmore, two Laura Ingalls Wilder sites, and more. Our kids had such a great time, they keep asking, when are we going to go west again?"
And then Tracy said, "Monterey and Big Sur and our bucket list item, MC Way Falls. From the Monterey tide pools to the Big Sur coastline and learning the history of MC Way Falls House, a highlight for sure. Also the famous River Inn and Slow Moving Creek for an amazing Zen moment. Casa de Fruta for flavored pistachios and San Juan Batisto for some history. Epic trip."
Brett Nielsen, our Utah correspondent, wrote in and said, "My top moment was hiking to an abandoned campground in Dinosaur National Monument. We were totally alone and did not encounter a single person. The temperature was perfect. The light was great for pictures. The hike was good, but not difficult, and I was with my two favorite girls."
Aww. And Keith and Tia wrote in. Keith and Tia Sims are our Southern correspondents on Campground of the Week. "That moment would be walking up the steps with the kids at the National Monument for Mount Rushmore. Why was that so special? Well, when we sat down with the kids in the late winter and asked them where they wanted to visit that summer, they all agreed they wanted to go to Mount Rushmore. So we spent the next 6 months learning about Mount Rushmore, looking at pictures, and as only kids can do, telling everyone we would meet that we were going to Mount Rushmore. So you can imagine the anticipation for the trip. Since we took almost a week and a half to make the drive from Atlanta to South Dakota, we had tons of fun stops and experiences. But the moment when we actually got there and saw Mount Rushmore with our own eyes was priceless. Of course, we took the kids on the hike up to the highest point, tons of steps. What a sense of accomplishment. Definitely worth the 1,600-mile trip. That memory forever sealed in all of our minds."
So thank you to all our listeners and correspondents for sending in those travel highlights from 2015. We'll have some more of them in a second, and we'll have some more of our travel highlights from 2015 when we come back. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's move on with our travel highlights from 2015. Our eighth highlight happened in Vermont. Now, we did about a 12-day trip to Vermont in August, and really at that point, we were writing the book full-time. We were working really hard, even though we were on the road.
Yeah, basically switching off like split shifts, right? Like I'd write and you would bring the kids places and do fun things with them. And then you'd come back and work and I would go do that. And then we try to like fit in a family activity in between.
Right. So one day we finally decided we're going to take a day trip, right? We're not going to write today. We're going to go do something fun. We had something fun planned. As we got ready that morning, the boys saw their bikes and they decided they wanted to learn to ride their bikes. They had not learned to ride their bikes yet for a couple of different reasons. Partly because we'd been busy with the book, and partly because they had been really nervous about learning to ride their bikes at the campground with strangers around, right?
Oh, I had been trying to get them to, you know, hey, practice with me, or come to the back here in this secluded spot, and they were just so hesitant. They were embarrassed. They didn't want to, like, you know, it can be overwhelming to try something new, and they just were not comfortable. And that had been frustrating for me. I really wanted them to learn how to ride that summer.
So they said, can we ride our bikes instead of going on this day trip?
Like, yes.
And we, you know what? We said, fine, let's cancel the trip. You guys, let's do the bikes right now. They learned to ride their bikes in 20 minutes to half an hour, and they were flying around the campground independently, doing loops around the campground 40 minutes later. After not being able to ride their bikes that morning, they learned really, really quickly, and they just like took over. And that campground was perfect for bike riding because there was that lower loop that had very little traffic.
Yeah, they could just go right around, and I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. I had thought in my head we would be working on this for weeks, right? And I couldn't convince them to like dig in and work on it. So I was really upset because like, oh, I wanted my kids to ride their bikes this summer. And then we just practiced with them and they got it. I couldn't believe it. And here they were. They were going around a loop. It was 45 minutes later and they were riding around and around and around. And I thought, our lives have moved on to the next level.
So quickly, like, and dramatically.
Boom.
And the rest of that.
We can ride bikes.
The rest of that Vermont trip really became centered around bike riding. So what we did every day when we weren't riding was we rode bikes together. And we went up to the Northeast Kingdom and stayed at the Sugar Ridge RV Resort that was connected to the Lamoille
Rail Trail.
Mm-hmm. And we rode bikes every night on that rail trail.
Every single and day we went.
It
we
was
went on
magical
the rail trail.
For us that they learned so quickly. And then all of a sudden, we had added to our family hiking and our family kayaking, family biking. Yeah. And it really is my new favorite thing to do with you and the boys.
Yep. Love it.
All right, moving on. Our fall trip to Lake Placid. We have two highlights from that trip that were really both awesome. The first was visiting all the Olympic sites. You really loved this, and this was your vote, and I readily agreed to it.
Way more fun than I ever would have imagined. First of all, there's just these aesthetically amazing experiences like riding the ski lift up to the ski jump, right? So for our boys that have never been on a ski lift before, and then you take this elevator up to the top of the ski jump that Olympians practice on and ride on.
And I think it gave both of us and our boys a sense of awe for how brave these Olympic athletes are.
Yeah. It was a moment that we were able to sort of communicate a piece of history and cultural. Like, the boys really didn't have an understanding of Olympics before we went there. They had watched really one Olympics in their life that we've seen on TV since they've been alive that they got. And then we were there and we were showing them, you know how on TV we were watching them do this and this? This is the type of place where they're at. And these are these best athletes in the world, and isn't this amazing? And they got it, and it was fun for us.
They loved learning about the Miracle on Ice, the famous hockey matchup between the United States and Russia. I bought them the movie Miracle, which we then watched that
over
week.
Over and over and over
And they
again.
Watched that game there in that little museum they have set up next to the rink. It was an awesome experience. We loved all of Lake Placid. We really loved the Olympic sightseeing.
For me, it reinforced the idea that in the future, I want more themed travel, right? That centers around that like idea, that historical moment. The boys engage. We're excited because we're teaching them and we're also learning at the same time. The whole thing is awesome and I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, thematic RV travel and educational RV travel are really high on our radar for the future. We enjoy it so much, and we really feel like we're giving them something really important when we do that. We also had an amazing family hike in Lake Placid. And I wish we hiked a little bit more while we were there, but the hike that we did was a top family hike. We hiked Mount Joe, which was beautiful. The foliage was changing. The leaves, there was a bed of red leaves all over the ground as we were going up the mountain and down the mountain. There were sort of like little trickles of streams coming down the mountain, and sometimes we were walking
more
through.
More than trickles, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we're kind of walking through some wet spots, but it really made it really beautiful. And so it's a deeply wooded hike up to the top, and then you emerge and you have an incredible view of the Adirondack Mountains. It's just a real payday of a view. Now, you hesitated. You almost did not want to put this hike on one of our travel highlights for 2015. I had to talk you into it.
Well, because I griped too much through it. And I like to be very honest. You know, like I really do present an honest view of our travel experiences to our listeners and our readers. And I don't ever like to, you know, pretend like we're this amazing family, this perfect family. So I had griped so much through this hike that I felt almost uncomfortable.
But for good reason, because the travel, my hiking book yeah. said it was an easy. You know, there's easy, moderate, difficult, strenuous, whatever. It put this one as easy. This hike would be easy for people traveling without kids on their backpacks.
Right.
It's not an easy hike with kids, and it's definitely not an easy hike if you got one of the little guys on the pack.
A two-year-old, too. Wesley's at that tricky stage where he's not a baby in a backpack, and he can't quite hike the way that all of us can hike.
He's getting heavy.
He's heavy. So I had him on my back, and he's two and change, and there were rock scrambles.
There were definitely a few rock scrambles at the end. So like I said, it was to me, it was really more of a moderate hike.
Hard.
And if you're going with little kids, it was a borderline challenging hike.
The view at the top was stunning.
Changing color below, the mountains in the distance. It was really a perfect family hike in the Adirondacks. And boy, I cannot wait to get back to the Adirondacks. We fell in love with that region. Now, our 11th. We're in the bonus round here. All right. Our 11th RV travel highlight from 2015. Both of our rallies, and we're going to cheat a little by putting them both together. They were absolute highlights for us. I think we thought we'd have fun at the rallies, but we didn't know that we would really just have so much fun and that we would just love meeting these people that listen to our podcast.
Yeah, they were travel experiences in their own right. So we went to Lake Inwood in Pennsylvania in June, and then we were at Westchester, Philadelphia, KOA.
In October for a Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
And it was perfect going for the Halloween weekend because there were so many activities set up for the kids that we didn't have to plan
anything.
And
we also had locals, our listeners, Bill and Karen, our locals to that area, and they brought us to that food market that everybody had a fun time eating lunch at. And we just, I mean, wow.
We're rally converts. We love doing it. I think that doing a spring and a fall rally is a definite tradition for us moving forward. Mm-hmm. We've got our Lake and Wood rally coming up next June.
Yeah.
And I think very soon we will announce our fall rally for next year. We like to plan in advance on these rallies. Our last travel highlight from 2015, our 12th travel highlight, would be spending Black Friday on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. when we decided to opt outside with everyone that was doing that with REI and just spend the day enjoying our monuments, teaching our children about our country's history and enjoying that beautiful weather. It was 70 degrees
ridiculous
on Black Friday in Washington, D.C. It was such a great way to end the RV season.
This was our first ever holiday in the RV. And we'll talk more about that in the future. I definitely have a blog post coming about that, reflecting on what it means to spend the holidays in the RV. This was our first one. It taught me a lot. It helped me reflect a lot on what a holiday should be and what I want it to look like for our family. And then the fact that we chose to do it in a place where, you know, here it's Thanksgiving. Right? We want to be thankful for things, and we're going around to memorials, war memorials, and we can teach our children to be thankful for the people who have given their lives to protect the freedom that our country enjoys. Like, the whole thing was so symbiotic to me and just felt so right to spend Thanksgiving thanking the people who had built this big and beautiful country that we love so much.
Yeah, I mean, we both get a little teary-eyed and patriotic when we visit Washington, D.C. And like I said about Myrtle Beach, it's just a terrific RV destination. You wouldn't think that it is, but there's a couple great campground options. You can get nice and close to the city. And I just felt like we're enriched by traveling to Washington, D.C. That's another tradition for our family. So why don't we end the show by sharing a few more listener highlights from 2015. Go. So Aaron from the InTown Campground wrote, "Happy holidays, RVFTA headquarters." And yes, we are here at global headquarters. "The InTown Campground crew has had a big year. It's amazing to look back on the evolution of the building process, from engineers to permits, infrastructure, tree trimming, major earth moving, building buildings. I enjoyed a test camp out at the InTown Campground this fall, and the highlight was getting takeout pizza, which was urban camping at its best. Our family took our spring camping resolution seriously and really made an effort to do more camping closer to home. While no long road trips were in the cards this year, I'm happy to report that we still got in over 10 different camping trips. I'm also proud to say that I did 2 camping trips in the tent without Dan, a first for me. So I guess next year will see me to Girl Camper College and I'll be pulling our vintage trailer around in no time. The highlight of 2015 for us was making the dream of building a campground into a reality. 2016 is shaping up to be an exciting year for our family, and we cannot wait to meet more RVFTA listeners when we open up this coming summer." And that's the InTown Campground in Nevada City, California. We had them on the show about a year ago, but over a year ago now, when they were just starting the building process. And we really look forward to having them back on the show after they open to just talk about this amazing experience of building this gorgeous looking campground in Nevada City.
Yeah. And then Dean says, "Our best RVing moment was buying our first RV last month." High five, Dean. "It is a 05 Casita 17-foot Freedom Deluxe. Buying the 09 Kia Borrego Limited V8 two-wheel drive 2 weeks ago was fun as well. I thoroughly enjoyed the research of RVs and the lifestyle in 2015. It started in September of 2014 by accident. My brother-in-law sent me a text with a picture of a custom RV. It was one of those rugged rigs you could drive across Africa. I started researching it, trying to figure out what it was. It opened up a whole world to me. Over the months, researching RVs and the lifestyle became a retirement plan in the long run and a stress reliever from work in the short run. The deeper I got into it, I decided that I could not wait 10 years until retirement. Several months ago, I decided maybe an RV in 5 years when our youngest daughter graduates from college. This was still not good enough. This summer, I shifted from B-plus motorhomes to small travel trailers as a plan to get into the RV in a couple years. That was my 2-year plan in July. But 4 months later, we bought our Casita. It is a kind of our empty nest plan with our youngest graduating from high school in May 2016. Luckily, Laura is almost as excited as me. So our 2015 RVing highlights are the enjoyment of my RV research, our Casita, and our Borrego. Kind of funny that our RV highlights of 2015 do not include one night of RVing, but we have big plans for 2016.
Teen, I feel you on that one because I remember purchasing our first RV and all that research that went into it. It gets really exciting doing all the planning, and you're going to have a lot of fun planning your trips this winter as well. We had a couple quick notes on Instagram. RV Circus dropped us a comment and said that Knoebels was the highlight of our year. Great family-friendly park, and we ran into a friend we haven't seen in years. Gotta love those serendipitous moments. And Cindy sent us a picture of a sunset on Goose Island that was lovely.
Oh, it was gorgeous, and she said this was the highlight of our year. And looking at that sunset on Goose Island, I thought, well, I can picture that. So those were our top 12 moments of 2015. Thank you so much to all of our listeners who shared their top moments of 2015. We will be with you through 2016. Also, Campground of the Week, you will find a new travel recommendation every week in 2016. And Janine Pettit over there on Girl Camper will be giving you advice on girl camping.
We're working towards giving you RV content every day of the week, Monday through Friday, with our three podcasts. And we're moving towards giving you two fresh blog posts every week as well. And we really want to say blessings to all of you for the year ahead. And cheers to the year ahead. And we look forward to seeing you all at the campground.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.